Good morning and welcome to Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. My name is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of Crosslink Radio. And today is Monday, and we always like to spend a little bit of time on Mondays talking about business and the health of the business. And today we're going to be spending some time talking about the dental business from a different aspect. I think it's going to be really interesting to patients and to dental practitioners and practice owners who are looking at ways to service the patients better and to make better use of their benefits and payments. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Somehow we have separated medical billing from dental billing, and it's time for the two to meet again. I think that this push maybe started, this medical dental billing collaboration, I guess, started maybe 10 years ago or so to really pick up some steam, but it's just taking forever. So today I have a very special guest, Christine Taxon, who is a specialist in medical and dental billing. She has been in that field for over 40 years. She's managed large dental practices. She's worked in a medical billing department for a large hospital and doctor affiliates. She's run a large orthopedic practice in a major New York City hospital. And she has also been trained at the Las Vegas Institute for Advanced Dental Studies and has worked with several consulting firms before starting her own consulting firm, Links to Success LLC. Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm good, Shirley. How are you? Nice. How do you know?
I'm very happy to have you on. It took a little couple of stumbles, but we reconnected over at the SCN meeting, and I'm glad you made a fuss about me not having you on before, because I'm not sure how things happen like that. But
you know, I mean, I figure if we're going to learn all these wonderful things that your dental hygienists and doctors are talking about, that they should learn how to get reimbursed for it.
Yeah, it's really important. So you've been doing this for 40 years. I've only really been aware of it for maybe 10. And I'm wondering, even 10 years seems like a long time. So what's going on? What happened?
There are a lot of changes right now in dentistry to start with that are pushing us into a much more medical-based plan. Even dental insurances, which are really a rebate plan and not so much a health and wellness plan, even if they cover, you know, preventative, what is the coverage really like, and what does that mean? It means that they're going to give you a set fee if you do a set procedure, but that's just about all you're going to get. And with medical, it's a little bit different. It's based on why you need treatment, not what treatment you need. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different ballgame when you can say, we need to do implants because this patient has no ability to function correctly, cannot chew, cannot swallow, and therefore nutritionally cannot survive. And so we know for sure that medical plans will consider some of these things because in the big picture they end up saving money because the patient will stay healthier. It's the same reason, Shirley, that, you know, I know I've listened to your show and you talk about so many amazing things that, you know, go along with billing, dry mouth,
right,
and diabetics. And why is that a medical necessity? Well, it is a medical necessity because patients, for instance, that have diabetes, it's been proven that if we keep them in our offices on a 3-month basis with really good home care, that is considered a medical necessity because the pH level of their oral cavity stays at a healthier rate and therefore helps their diabetes stay at a healthier rate. So we're actually collaborating with the medical world in helping patients that are diagnosed stay healthy. And that's really the basis of medical billing. based on why do you need to do the services, not the services themselves as much. And medical insurance pays differently because it pays at a percentage of all treatment. Now, there are some plans that have exclusions, written exclusions. And that's one of the first things I teach people is to find out what the written exclusions are, because every contract, whether it's dental or medical, has their own set of exclusions. First thing you need to find out.
Wow. So, yeah, I really agree with your assessment there. Using diabetes is a really good example for a number of reasons, but I think maybe the impetus for this change is coming because insurance companies have done their own research and found that their patients with chronic illnesses like diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, some other cardiac kind of problems, and even cancers are less expensive, their treatments are less expensive if they see a dental hygienist. It is not about the dentist, although you can't see a dental hygienist until you can get to a dentist, but professional dental hygiene care reduces those medical costs by thousands and thousands, multiple thousands of dollars a year.
Absolutely. In fact, Harvard University, Shirley, did a study on exactly this. They used their own emergency room for 1 year to develop a strategy to prove to medical insurances why it was beneficial. And they saw something like 3 million patients in the emergency room, and out of 3 million, over 267,000 had to be referred to an oral physician for treatment, because the reason that they were ill was coming from the oral cavity, whether they had bleeding, whether they had the pH level was off balance. And it is amazing what the insurance companies are saving by helping patients get this, because they figured out that for every $5,000 spent in a emergency room, it really will only cost about $600 in an oral physician's practice. So when the hygienist is taking care of that patient.
Wow.
So there, you know, this is why plans like Cigna Dental and Aetna Dental have added what we call wellness benefits for patients that are already in care that have this dental benefit and no one knows about it. But it's additional covered visits for hygiene, so they could stay in treatment and not get sicker. So we need to learn to access these things. And, you know, I'm really working hard at trying to spread the word, because we are at a crossroad in life that is amazing. And you're going to see more and more dental benefits embedded within medical plans in the future. And that's going to be a big change for dental offices that are not trying to learn some of this now. Because they're not going to know what to do.
Well, what I keep running into, because I keep bringing this up in my courses, and wherever I can, I'm like, well, that patient has diabetes, so that should be maybe billed for medical against this diabetes condition, because this crown wouldn't need to be replaced if it wasn't for diabetes or Sjogren's or whatever. And dental offices are telling me that they're having a heck of a time getting reimbursement for that. So is there an answer to the reimbursement question?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I want to compare apples to oranges here. In the medical world, a person that does the billing is trained and has had course upon course to learn how to use diagnostic codes in the way that the insurance companies allow for treatment. And I'm talking about even the order they're put in, Shirley, on a form makes a difference whether that you're going to get paid or not going to get paid.
Wow.
The dental world hasn't even had official training on dental coding.
No.
So now we're putting them in a situation of failure, and it's not because they're not smart enough, because I know office teams are a brilliant group of people because they've actually trained themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy job to do. But they have not been given the opportunity or tools to really advance in their own careers because there is no mandate that says they need this training. But honestly, the people that do train, and I have several of my students that are now helping me work. I mean, they've done so well that they could actually take on some of my clients at this point.
Wow.
And I have one woman in Detroit, Michigan, who came to one of my courses as my guest this year, brought her books with her, and collected $500,000 in 1 year in her dental practice with one doctor.
Wow.
And one. So it's not a matter of it doesn't work. It's a matter of knowing how to make it work. It's not the same as dental insurance, where you give them a procedure and it's either covered or not. It's not. It does not work like that. You need to know why, the reason why.
Yeah, right, because mostly what they do is they throw their arms up and they go, well, didn't work, sorry. So I'm not going to do it anymore. It's a unicorn.
That is so true. But I wish, you know, if anybody's there listening, if they call me, I could even give you some of the students' names that have worked with me for the past 5-6 years
mm-hmm.
that are doing amazing. I have a girl in Seattle. She sent me this huge gift with her doctor, you know, with a big heart in it, Shirley, and the EOBs attached to the chart that they collected $18,000 on a medical claim for a patient.
On one?
And, yeah, one patient.
Wow.
One claim. So, you know, it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of really wrapping your head around a whole different way of thinking.
Yeah.
So I could give anybody the codes, and anybody could buy a book of codes.
Right.
The point is to put a different role, add a role to your job, because you're going to get good results. You're going to have great, happy, grateful patients. And I have this one girl that's making $500,000. She gets 10%. Do you think she's happy?
That was going to be my next question. So this could really be a boon for the person in the front office of a dental office, because right now they're making minimum wage plus maybe $2.
Yep.
And they are just in charge of answering the phone pleasantly and making appointments and then pressing go on the insurance form from the computer system, right? Isn't that the usual way? And there's really nothing else to know because the program does it all. So are any of these dental programs geared up to do the medical billing, or is this all by hand?
Dentistry actually has done a great job with building in medical billing. And I'm working with Dana Johnson, who we are collaborating on a course right now for all Dentrix users, because she can teach the how to use the Dentrix, and I can teach the claiming, the claims.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always go to the expert.
Right.
Never try to do something you don't know. Well, I don't know how to work a computer as well as you or Dana, and so I'm not going to take that role on. So that's why you find who's the specialist in certain things, and you collaborate. And this is what I say to doctors now that they have to sign up for Medicare, where they're saying, oh, I don't want to sign up for Medicare. I'm not going to bill Medicare. It's not a matter of billing, Shirley. It's a matter of that the law changed, and it now states that doctors of oral surgery and doctors of oral medicine have to have their MPI numbers registered to even write a prescription for a patient in Medicare. Now, by next year, that's going to be a done deal. Guarantee you, the following year, every insurance company across the country is going to ask for the same thing. Medicare and the federal government, with all its faults, has actually put us in a position to be considered borrowed physicians. So hurrah, embrace it. It doesn't mean you even have to bill it, but embrace the idea and move forward with it, because it's going to be amazing.
So the term dentist, the initials DDS, Doctor of Dental Surgery, and DMD, Doctor of Medical Doctoring, whatever, all of that is going to be under an umbrella called oral physician?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share the exact law with you, because I feel that this is where doctors are missing the beat, okay? It's not about the billing. It's about the recognition that I think, personally, you deserve.
Yeah, right.
You deserve, well, sure, to have that recognition. And having this law stated, and this is the exact law and how it applies to the dental people, and the number of the law is 3044.4. And it says, definition of physician practitioner. For purposes of this provision, the term physician is limited to doctors of medicine, osteopathy, doctors of dental surgery, or of dental medicine. We are performing dental medicine.
Yep. Well, I think this is part of the status quo problem that you've just illustrated, in that dentistry has turned into a drill and fill business. And by not allowing dental hygienists to have a little bit of freedom and working only under a dentist, and the dentist only looking for fillings to do all the time, that we're missing the big part of the boat here. We're in a dinghy, we're in a storm, and there's a boat right next to us, and we can't get on, or we don't see it, or it's in the fog, or I don't know. Take this metaphor wherever you want to, because it's dentistry is not just form and function of teeth. It's form and function of the teeth to facilitate a healthy body. And by not focusing on some of these other aspects, we're missing a lot of money, and we're missing the ability to help our patients be healthier.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I think is the biggest obstacle, Shirley, to me as a, you know, an educator like you yourself, is we do get frustrated because we know it works. I know it works. And I know it's hard. It's not a one-day course that you could go back to your office and implement. But it works. And think about the collaboration within the medical world and the type of referrals you will receive. So if you want to grow, and I can tell you that the younger doctors graduating today, and one of the things that I do is I teach the graduating NYU students, is they have a different mindset. They're either going to take any job to make money because they're broke,
right,
or they're going to push forward on this whole oral systemic link and take advantage of it because they know that this works. They have been taught the science behind the reasons of doing this treatment. And so for me to teach them the why is a little bit easier. But when I talk to the older doctors or the, you know, doctors that are practicing maybe for even 5 to 10 years, they want to make the change. The problem is, you have to have training, and training is going to be needed by the whole team, because you have to embrace everyone in your team in order to be successful in this change. You have to depend on your assistants for certain things. You have to depend on your hygienist for certain things. Because a hygienist is really the first line of defense. They're doing the risk assessments. They're getting the reasons why the patient needs anything. They're the ones doing it.
Yeah,
the doctor's
right.
Confirming it. But the hygienists are the actual end of the line, getting all this information. And one of the major problems is that they want to have work done. The doctors need work done in order to pay them. And I'm calling out to all hygienists, you know, you have an option here of getting a smaller salary and commission. I'm working with a couple of hygienists right now who have taken the reign even within the confinement of working in a dental practice. They're running their own hygiene department within an office.
Right.
And why are they able to? Because they sat with their doctor and they collaborated on, let me be my own entity. I'll take less from you, but I will do more for my patients. So in the end, I'm going to make more. And they are. They really are. But they've taken control of their own appointments and what needs to be done and why it needs to be done. And patients embrace it because they're being educated. And the hygienist who has that first line of defense is giving these patients options for getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not about what their teeth are looking like, but about getting healthy. And it's amazing. I'm seeing transformations that are amazing.
Well, that's what my own consulting has evolved into. I don't know if you know how resistant I was to doing any kind of coaching or consulting, because hygienists really hate consultants. And for good reason. But I didn't want to be like your basic consultant. I wanted to show hygienists how to incorporate this oral systemic practice or this oral systemic science into their practice. And the billing part is going to be a big part of that, I'm assuming, because the hygienist will have to go to the front office and say, look, this patient has diabetes, they have periodontal disease, and the medication that they're taking for their arthritis is making their mouth dry out, and they need 4 new fillings. So that needs to be billed to medical insurance somehow. So am I right, or is that kind of how it's going to go?
And one of the things, and I agree with you 100%, why is that? You know, I when I work in any practice, it's funny because the hygienist tells me, well, I can't diagnose. And before I go to any
head, that's hammered in.
Yeah, before I go to any state, you know, I'm not going to go against the state regulations. Federal regulations are one set, the state is another, and I bring it with me and I ask them to read it to me, and it never says anything in there about not diagnosing. Now, maybe you can't diagnose the need for an implant, but you sure can diagnose that oral cavity. You're getting the first line of defense is what the patient tells you.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even about your exam. It's about getting information from your patient. And you're right. Like, my own daughter takes 5 medications a day, Shirley. That alone is a flag. It's a red flag. That's why her oral cavity is broken down. And guess what? Her father was a dentist.
Right.
It doesn't discriminate. The fact that she doesn't need to even pay to go to the dentist, what's happening is that her medication to keep
out of
her
hands.
Right. It's out of her hands, it's out of her doctor's hands, and it's in the hands of the hygienist in my husband's office, who sees my daughter every 2 months, like clockwork. Even if she doesn't need anything, she's there.
Right.
And she's on home care, and she's doing well, and even with that, there is some breakdown. So imagine if you don't go. And we, hygienists, need to get out of their own way, because there are states, I work with a hygienist who owns her own practice in the state of Maine.
Yeah.
And she called me and said, I didn't know what I didn't know. I wanted to be independent, but I didn't know all the other things that go along with it.
Right, the business part.
True.
And really, truthfully, I don't think that as a rule, dental hygienists like the idea of independent practice, but they need to have an independent board that oversees their practice, and it should be that dental hygienists can work under a physician or under a physician's assistant, or be employed in a long-term care facility under the medical director. You know, something like that needs to happen, and I think there's plenty enough hygienists now to accommodate for that. But they
need to change. I have to tell you, that is changing. But, you know, hygienists better step up, Shirley, because I could tell you at NYU Dental School, they have a graduating class next year of physician assistant hygienists.
Wow.
So we better step up.
Yep.
You know, the state of New Jersey, which is one of the most regulated states in the country, is going to be doing a pilot for Delta Dental, of all insurances, to do blood work within the dental practice so we can test patients for diabetes. This is happening, people. Yep. I have dentists across the country taking blood, and the hygienist is doing it.
Yep.
It's a finger prick, but hygienists don't want to do it. That's not in my, I can't do that.
What?
So guess, they make their own rules. There are no rules that tell them they can't
do certain. Here's the thing, and I'm with you on this. This has been part of my flag for a long time. Those hygienists shouldn't have a job, or there should be tiers in dental hygienists. If you don't want to draw blood, then you shouldn't have to, but you should not make as much money as the hygienist who will. And that's another piece of this, of the answer, I think. I just can't believe that.
Yes, you can't possibly, you know, I know that dentists get a bad rap with hygienists, but in the end,
it's
a business.
Plenty to complain about on both sides, let me tell you.
Absolutely. But in reality, what the thing I'm learning, and learning this from the hygienists who are on their own, is that they did not realize what it costs to run the business. And somebody has to pay for that.
Yep.
So if you're a hygienist and you have a person making your recalls, and a person making your appointments, and a person collecting your money that gives you the $42 an hour salary that some get, or more, or a little bit less, doesn't matter, somebody has to pay them. So this is the frustration on the office manager side and on the assistant side. They're asked to do all this, and then they find out that, well, gee, they're making a pittance in comparison, and they don't know how to do any of this. They tell me, I don't code. I don't do this. And I'm telling you that the hygienists that are doing it said, I wish I would have learned this sooner. I would have been able to control my department. I would have been making more money.
Yeah.
And I would have had my own assistant because I would have been able to afford it.
You know, that's what I think. You know, I sub at this big group practice, but there is not a day where I'm subbing where I think to myself, I should hire my own assistant and I should just come as a two-pack because this is baloney.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in any of the drawers. I don't know their new coding system. I don't know all of this stuff. I know what happens in between the lips. That's my department and the health history and how it relates. But, you know, all of this other stuff, I need a helper to take that part on. And
that's exactly what these hygienists who are going to their doctors and saying, I want to work as a business within your business. Let's make it work. And they hire their own assistant. They actually hire that person. And that person's doing their ordering, doing their recall, doing cleaning the room so they could work more than one.
Yeah.
And that's why it works, because they're a unit within the unit. And all of this oral systemic is getting done.
Yes.
They're doing varnish. They're prefabricating trays and using medicated treatment for patients that are going to go for cancer therapy. They don't need the dentist. They need the hygienist.
They sure do.
And we're not addressing it.
They're too afraid. On and on and on.
Yeah, it's very sad. And oral cancer, like, don't even get me started.
Don't get me started. Because we are out of time. And Christine, I want to make sure that people know how to reach you, too, before we get flat out of time. And the best way to do that is to go to your website?
Yeah, or you could email me direct or call me directly. But my website is sends me notices, and one of my phone numbers will text message me if you leave a message. So if you leave a message on the 914-303-6464, and you leave a message, I will get a text message. So even if I can't call you back, I could send you a text. So I like it because when I'm teaching, I really can't answer my phone.
Well, sure.
And that could be days in a row. Mm-hmm. So at least I could text someone back, give them an appointment to speak, and everybody is happy with, having that. So it works.
So your email is ctaxon@links2success.biz, B-I-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come to the CrossLink Radio website on this little page that has your biography and stuff, I'll have links and stuff like that where they can access you pretty easily. So thank you so much. This was so worth it, and I'm sure there are other topics to consider in this area. And, you have a book out that you wrote with Patty DeGangi. Dental Chorology.
Yep. It's how to navigate Medicare and the choices that you need to make so that you can make the correct decision for your practice. So it's Dental Chorology, and it's the Medicare ebook. There's also, Patty and I also wrote a book on diagnosing within the dental practice. So that's really a very helpful book also on there. And I've got workbooks, so if you are learning or want to learn how to fill out a medical claim form or learn how to use oral bill for implants, surgical extractions, things like that, I have a workbook that can teach you that. So I'm having a series of workbooks that will work within sleep apnea, TMD, oral surgery, and pedo. So they're really helpful because I've broken down the codes that go within those sections. So it's not a big, big book of codes.
Okay.
It's more detailed for the type of practice you have.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Christine. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm real happy that we finally got together on this. And we'll see you at some other conference along the way.
Okay, Shirley. Great speaking to you, and it was wonderful seeing you. So I'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Christine Taxon of Links to Success talking about medical billing in the dental practice and the benefits thereof and how to manage a dental practice a little bit better from the dental hygienist side, wink, wink. And you can contact Christine at ctaxon@links2success.biz. And as always, please take a minute out and subscribe to the website. Share these episodes with people who you think can benefit from them. That's how we do it. That's how social media works. Have a great rest of the day. Talk soon.